Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man, and this week, as promised, the interview with the original Gotta herself, Monique Dupree, that we scored way back on October 20th at 4 State Comic Con. Now, mind you, Miss Dupree is a actress, is a professional wrestler, is a cosplayer, and is a model. And plus, she has been dabbling as a singer as well. So, that being said, I'm going to share with you her interview in just a moment. But I just want to let you know that I am sounding and feeling a little bit better this week than I was last week. I have been treating my cold, and as you can tell, I'm not hacking up a lung that I normally should be. And I would also like to tell all of you out there that you should stay tuned to after the interview, because we have a kind of a review for all of you out there. I should say a lot of you out there who play video games, and should you be interested or not. So, but first, here is the interview with the one, again, the one, the only, Monique Dupree. Hello everyone, I'm here with the one and only Monique Dupree, who has classified herself as the original, how do you pronounce it, Gotta?
Gotta? Yes.
Okay, first off, what does that, for those who don't know, what does that mean?
Well, Gotta is just Spanish for cat. So I have an affinity to cats. I love cats. I was given the name Gotta, but there are thousands of other Gottas out there. So I came up with the original Gotta. Actually, the true original Gotta is trademarked. And it's trademarked for a reason, but it is something that is near and dear to me. Cats are near and dear to me as well. I'm a big cat lover. I love animals, but cats are my first love. So
let me just say that for the folks listening in on this, that Monique has done a lot. She's a wrestler, she is an actress, a model, a cosplayer, and from what I heard, a budding singer as well. So with her, there is a lot to unpack, and I mean that in the kindest and gentlest way possible. If we may, can we start off with your wrestling career?
Sure.
As many might, who are not familiar with the wrestling genre, other than the biological aspect, how does being a female wrestler differ than the male counterpart?
Well, first I have to say, because I got into wrestling because of Tommy Dreamer, and I owe him everything, because he's just basically resurged my career, my brand, if you will. I started doing wrestling in a valet and managing capacity. So while I would take bumps, I don't want to take credit for being the female wrestlers that are out there that are putting their bodies on the line every day like they do. I don't want to take that kind of credit. I valet and I manage. And even though I do take bumps, even though it is just as dangerous, it's different. So but I don't classify it a difference as far as male wrestlers and female wrestlers. They all put their bodies on the line the same exact way. They all train the same exact way. You see, these women are getting a chance to show the talent that they actually have, because before they were more so eye candy. You know,
that was going to be one of my next questions.
Now they get to be eye candy and then show you, look, I can kick your ass too. So I love that.
So with a mainstream like the WWE, bring more of the female wrestler to the forefront with certain aspects that they can be technical, they can be wrestlers other than what they did during the Attitude Era, in reference to the evening gown matches. I don't mean to come off that way, but...
But I mean, look at ECW and look at how, you know, no pun intended saying hardcore, but look at how hardcore those women were. They looked good, They were in little skimpy outfits, but boy, could they go. I mean, go back and watch it. Everybody that was a part of the original ECW was extreme and hardcore. And I've seen a lot of women on the indie circuit even before WWE started really recognizing females as the talent that they are. I've seen plenty of women on the indie circuit that were showing their talent left and right. You know, like I said, me being my age, because I'm in my 40s, I got into this business to help my daughter, who is in her 20s, and we come out together as the Double Dupreez. So we start Trouble. You know, I've taken some bumps, especially from Dreamer himself. And but right now, I do things in the capacity of behind the scenes and or valeting and managing.
Have you seen the insurgents? That might be the wrong word for it. And I should say an increase in the independent market now with the independent wrestling circuit.
As far as
attendance, meaning the fans can't really get to or afford a WWE event. So
there's always been the indie. The underground independent wrestling movement has always been pretty grand. It was just that a lot of people on the mainstream did not know it, you know. So there's always been, and it depends on where you are and how it's promoted too, but there's always been a great attendance for these independent shows. So I'm seeing now that, to me, independent as in terms of quality of wrestling and stuff is really taking over in terms of wrestling, period. So I love it.
Okay, to kind of move on to your acting career, how'd you get you started in that?
Well, I started acting when I was 13, so that means I've been in this business for 3 decades, which is so crazy to say. But I got my start doing my first film, Lean On Me. And I was just like a featured extra where I worked like 5 or 6 days on set, but I got to meet like Lynn Thigpen, and you know, my brother was in the movie, Tony Todd, and I got to meet Robert Guillaume and Morgan Freeman for only a second. But that, when I was on that set, that was my first time ever on a set. I thought, oh my God, this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. And, you know, the rest is history from there.
I'm not going to take away from your claim in any way, shape, or form, but I think you've mentioned it a couple of times online that you are the first ever African-American or person of color screen queen.
That was something that was given to me.
Who gave you that?
Debbie Rochon was the first person to ever say the first black screen queen. She didn't say it to me, she said it to the public. And it was something, go ahead and say it.
On Fangoria Radio.
He's right. She said it on air on Fangoria Radio when she and Dee Snider used to be a part of Fangoria Radio, when they used to do Fangoria. Do you remember that?
Not offhand.
Okay, well, Fangoria Radio, and then we used to do Fangoria conventions and whatnot. That was when she said that, and I pretty much took it and ran with it, because you know how when someone starts to dub you that way, you know, when somebody starts to dub you that way, other people will start to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and go, first black screen queen. I noticed that a lot of black women that do horror don't want to take a title of first black scream queen or something like that, because they don't want to be pigeonholed to a genre. However, I don't mind. I don't mind that at all. I don't see an issue with it for me personally. So that was something that was dubbed to me, and then it was written on my Wikipedia, and then so it just kind of went from there.
So it's an honor for you to be recognized as some.
Right. You know, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but the goddess of scream queens, to me, said the first black scream queen, Monique Dupree, and I took that because I love Debbie Rochon. She and Lloyd Kaufman are, you know, people responsible for me being a staple in the horror genre. If it were not for them, I don't think that I would have been able to do the films that I've done. And even though they've been independent, yes, as far as horror, I've done over 100 film and television projects to date. And I think that that's pretty darn good for somebody who is on an independent level.
Which is very impressive. And I know recently there has, I think both you and I were part of the same posting in reference to how some women are treated on independent horror sets in reference to that. I'm familiar with, not personally,
right.
That there can be some lizards in a way
absolutely.
Regards to filmmaking. How would you approach young women coming into this industry that to help them avoid the lizards or the snakes in the industry that want to just see them or use them for to do something against them? How should I put this politely?
I think
you know what I'm trying to say.
I do. I always say, just as I would tell my girls, be careful. Understand what you're getting yourself into. Research. To me, research is key. Somebody's interested in something, okay, cool. Look them up. See what they've done. See if you can read about, you know, experiences that people have had, but, you know, also go with your gut instinct. A lot of people are just so gung-ho on, you know, especially my young ladies that want to be a part of the business, you know, they get an offer and they're like, hey, I have an offer, and then they're running toward it, you know, with eyes wide shut, as I like to say, and not paying attention to the things around it. Like, you don't know anything about this company. You don't know anything about this person. You know, you can't just go in because somebody's offering you something and because you want to be famous, air quotes, and jump in. You have to be cautious with anything that you do. Anything that you do. This is no different. I mean, if anything, this is worse. You have to be extra cautious, especially, you know, as young women coming into this business, because it's a brutal, brutal business. So all I have to say is be careful. Go with your gut instinct. Research. Always research. Ask questions. Ask lots of questions. If people are uncomfortable with you asking questions and giving you answers, then you don't need to deal with them, you know, because a legit company should be able to answer your basic right. questions of your needs or concerns of stuff for your safety. If they can't do that or not willing to do that, then they're no good.
And also, I'm sure you would agree that for the most part, if that particular person, I'm not naming names, that this is pretty much geared to a lot of the young ladies, that they don't, again, to reiterate what you said, they don't have to, in essence, take off their top or their clothes in order to get into the business.
Absolutely. Anytime that I've done a role where I've done nudity, it was because I understood I was doing the nudity. I understood how much I was doing. When I didn't want to do it, I said I didn't want to do it. I've had this situation happen to me twice where somebody expected me to be nude, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. And no matter how angry they got or what the situation was, I stuck to my guns. I still got to complete my film, and I don't care how you see me as coming off, but there was nothing saying in any contract anywhere that I had to do this, that, or the other. So I stuck to my guns and said I didn't want to. Just because I've gotten nude before doesn't mean that you have a right to say, well, you did it before, so why can't you do it now? Well, it doesn't call for it, and I don't want to do it. And how about that's not what we agreed to as well? So, yeah, you just have to be careful and don't get pressured into doing something in order to stay on a set. It's not worth it. It's not.
Yeah. For the ladies out there listening, do it. Do what Mr. Priest said. You don't have to do something you don't want to do. Stay firm. Stay strong out there.
Absolutely.
And you recently kind of went into the directorial role with Shadowhunters.
Shadowhunters.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I wanted to try my hand at directing. my husband said that he thought I would be pretty good at it because I used to like direct videos on YouTube and stuff like that. I would do my own stuff. And I said, okay, let me try it. Well, while I enjoyed it, here's the issue for me. I decided to direct, produce, and act in and distribute the same film. That was the craziest thing I ever decided to do, and that won't happen again. Not like that. If I'm gonna direct something, I want to have everybody else doing everything else, and I'll just direct, maybe do a little cameo. But other than that, because it's very, very stressful when you take on many hats and you're doing something new. Luckily, I had John Johnson from Darkstone Entertainment to assist me. He wrote the script and assisted me in the directing. So I had really seasoned hands helping me. And it also helped that he edited the film because I could not edit that as well. I did too many other things. But it was a great experience, and I really do want to do it again, just not the way I did it the first time.
So it's very much a learning experience.
It is. You live and you learn. So I learned that if I'm going to direct, I'm just going to direct, and that's it.
And what has your favorite role been so far?
It would have to be Bachelor Party in the Bungalow of the Damned, the little indie cult classic where I was actually a vampire pretending to be a regular stripper, and I had all the makeup on, and I had teeth on my boobs, and a bunch of teeth on my face, and that was my favorite, by far one of my favorite films to do today.
See what you're also a cosplayer and a model. I want to kind of put them all in the same or similar basket. What has that experience, how'd you get started being a model? Or has wrestling led to model or?
Well, modeling is something that's been interwoven through everything that I've done throughout my life. Because I started out modeling at the age of 9 for my uncle. And then I would do little photo shoots for the fashion shows. And then, you know, like I said, and I started acting, and then you have to do pictures and still photography for stuff like that. And you know, by the time wrestling came along, I was already seasoned in like doing photography and stuff like that. But it's all interwoven in, and I would say that modeling is something that I truly enjoy. It was kind of how I got into cosplay, because I married an uber nerd, and then we started discussing cosplay. Like he said, you know, if you dressed up as this person, it would be, you know, really cool and this and that. And then I cosplayed Vixen, my own version of Vixen, and I was heavier at the time. But he did the photo shoot, Anthony S. Thomas Photography. He did the photo shoot, and then the rest was history from there. So modeling and cosplay has gone hand in hand with me, but modeling in particular has been interwoven through everything I've done from the age of 9 to now. You know, even with my theater stuff, and we don't even ever touch on my theater stuff, but that was something that happened for a short period in my life. I've done a little bit of everything. So, I enjoy entertaining.
And now you're, from what I hear, starting to sing and be a musician.
Well, I've been singing for years. It was just that people had just started acknowledging me as such. We had a band. Right now, the band is kind of defunct, and I hope to at least bring part of the band back to life. We had a band called Negro Kyle, and me and my husband were the forefronts. Like, he does spoken word and rap, and I would sing, and then we had a live band behind us. So that music can still be found on Reverb Nation. Even if you just look up the original Gotta, you can hear some of our songs. I think Grendel is the song that's on there right now. But I've been singing all my life. For as long as I've been talking, I've been singing and performing. And that's what I mean. I've always entertained. This is just something that I feel like I've been meant to do in my life, is to entertain in particular. I don't know which one I'm better at or stronger at, so to speak. It's just that I love them all.
So which one, right now, which one have you, are you enjoying more, so to speak?
It's a toss-up. I enjoy acting the most, but I also enjoy wrestling, but on the back end, oddly enough. Not being out there, but the producing aspect of wrestling and watching everybody else go out. I enjoy that, but my roots are based in acting. Horror, I'd love to start doing some more comedies because I grew up loving comedy. And that's actually what got me into acting. It's like Lucille Ball. And I even used to watch Benny Hill, even though that wasn't much of acting. But, you know, I watched Benny Hill. You know, Carol Burnett. I grew up loving this stuff. The Honeymooners. I watched it religiously. So I would just love to get back into acting more so than I have been and explore my comedy roots.
One last thing. What are you working on now? Any projects in the works that are coming out shortly that we should keep an eye out for?
I just finished working on Darknet with Darkstone Entertainment. John Johnson is the director of that. I just finished Shakespeare's Shitstorm with Trauma's own Lloyd Kaufman. Anybody that knows independent films, he is the godfather of independent films. He's been doing it since 1974. When Trauma was first founded, and that is my age, so he's been doing films for as long as I've been alive. Other than that, I'm doing wrestling. I will be performing as a wrestler on December the 1st in Waukesha, Wisconsin, at House of Hardcore, and also December the 8th at House of Hardcore in Philadelphia, PA. And all of that information can be found by going to houseofhardcore.net. To see anything that I'm up to, you can go to MoniqueDupree.com.
And thank you so much. All Ms. Dupree's links will be provided in our description, along with her fan page on Facebook.
And I truly appreciate this.
Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back, folks. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Let me just say two things first. If you have any questions yourself in regards to something that I might have missed in this interview, you could do so easily and simply by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And two, Ms. Dupree ranks within the top three interviews I've done over the past several years in regards to being informative, being enlightening, and everything else. I'm not really going to go into a list who else is on that list, but I will give her that credit because she was a wonderful interview and it was great to talk to her. And I hope I'll get a chance to talk to her again in regards to what she's up to and other topics that I've might have missed and questions that you at home might have for her. Within reason, of course. And it was just wonderful. And I what more can I say in regards to that? Other than, again, I hope to speak to her again and hope she's more than willing to come on our show to promote what she's doing, whether it's wrestling, singing, acting, or modeling. It doesn't matter. I hope to have her on the show again. And I'm willing to say that, especially since if she's listening to this, especially if she's made it this far. Again, Ms. Dupree, if you're listening, you're more than welcome to be on the show at any time to promote anything and to talk about anything in regards to whatever. Even if it's to rant about something, I'll say it like that. And to kind of go into a little bit of the extra geekiness that I want to talk about, I don't think I mentioned it at the start of the show, but I do have some extra. I did it last week with our panel episode, and I'm going to do it this week with this particular interview episode. I just played for a little while the beta for Fallout 76. I got my hands on a code for the beta. So it was interesting, and from what I initially heard, the beta was not all that great. It was buggy as hell, and you know what? It was. I will say this. It is made for a 4K TV, and I do not have a 4K TV, nor do I have an Xbox One S or One X to kind of display 4K information or a 4K TV to actually, let me rephrase that. I don't have a system like an Xbox One S or a One X to deliver 4K information or a display that could also display that information. So, there are a lot of times where in the beta where it got dark, I couldn't see a whole hell of a lot. And the other problem that I had with the beta is that there were many times where I didn't hear anything. There was no music, no sound, no anything else. And it was very hard to figure out what was going on in the game, because you have to hear a message or find out exactly where you needed to go, and there was no sound to let you know what was going on. There was no subtitles or anything like that to help you out, and especially no sound cues to let you know when you were about to be attacked by an animal or a type of mutant or anything like that. And the guns that they give you at this particular moment, again, this is just a beta, are very slow. It's one of my pet peeves in a lot of games that involve shooting, that your character seems, it's a aspect of the game that you have to reload quickly, and you just take your god dang time to reload. It's like you're using a muzzle loader in a game that requires you to have a semi-automatic or a automatic weapon. No, I don't need to take 5 minutes to reload. No. And especially when you dealing with enemies that take more than one hit. The gun in this game, I was dead on their, in essence, their head and or their body. And it was like, oh, we're going to take this, you know, this should be a one-hit kill. And 5 minutes later, the thing I was aiming at finally dies. And it's because you hit it once. You have 5 shots in the gun. You hit it once, it seems like you have to reload. Or you miss. Every single time. And you're point blank range. And people wonder why I didn't really. I have a lot of friends that played Fallout 3, Fallout 4, and now they have Fallout 76. Am I going to get it? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of friends playing Fallout 76. All the while, I'm going to be playing Red Dead Redemption. Why? Because it's probably the better game right now. I've been hearing good things. I haven't played it yet. Hopefully, within the next few weeks, along with the new laptop, I'm hopefully getting for the show will help in matters, along with Red Dead Redemption 2. After that, who knows what else we'll get in regards to the show. Yes, if I have to pay for the brand new laptop and everything else out of pocket, the fundraiser on GoFundMe.com be up still? Yes, it'll still be up because there's always something new we could get for the show, and the funds that I raise for the show through your contributions will help keep the lights on in regards for the show. And depending on how much we raise, we'll see in regards to getting bigger, badder, and way more interesting equipment. Whether it be cameras, stuff to help display banners, laptops, better mics, who knows. So, and there might be a time or two where we actually donate a couple of bucks to a good cause in the name of the show, which I'll discuss with all of you once we have donations coming in. So, and as per everything, when it comes to getting new equipment, there will be unboxings and footage and receipts and everything else showing that the money is going to where it's going to. And I say that because there have been many scams on places like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, GoFundMe, and the like, and I want to be as honest and straightforward as possible. And that being said, this show is going on a little bit too long. It should be a quick show, and it's hit about the 30-minute mark. So, that being said, I hope you enjoyed the interview, as I said, with Ms. Dupree. Next week, yes, it's going to be another panel episode. It's going to be a panel all about cosplay, believe it or not. Cosplay with Lanley Cat, I believe her name is. I'll put it in the intro for next week's episode. And let's see what else. As always, you could find us and stalk us on our social media. And that being said, our social media is on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And our Instagram is Long Coat Mafia. And our Twitter handle is also Long Coat Mafia. We do have a YouTube page. I've been posting there exclusively in regards to certain things, some videos, some long form videos. And so that being said, you should also follow us. Not just follow us there, follow us on Facebook as well, because sometimes I put exclusive content on Facebook as well, video-wise. So please do so. Finding our show, if you finally get a mobile device, whether it's a smartphone or the whatnot, an actual iPod or a iPad, and you want to listen to or any other tablet for that matter, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or Google Play Podcasts if they finally launch that. We are on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and the Podbean app, which is always Spotify, the Podbean app, and Stitcher Radio are always good alternatives. To Google Play Music and Apple Podcasts, because both of those outlets tend to have problems sometimes, and having a secondary option for your podcasting needs is always a good idea. Let's see what else. That seems to be about it. Details in regards to Ms. Dupree's social media will be in the show description. I know she said it during her interview, so either way, just in case you forgot, it will be down below. So take care, one and all, and we'll see you next week for something equally geeky and equally informative, and as always, we'll try to insert some extra geekiness into the episode, so there's always something extra to listen to. So again, stay tuned and see you all next week.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.